How's it going, everybody? Josh Armour here from Wrestle Radio Australia, WRA. This is the Axecast with Josh Shooter. Today's guest is Kellyanne, who caught up with Josh backstage a couple of weeks ago at Platinum Pro Wrestling. A really cool chat here where they talk about Kel's beginnings in wrestling, topics that she actually did talk about with Todd Eastman way back on WRA when it was known as Wrestle Hustle Radio. Now, that episode is on our YouTube channel, but she really does elaborate on those subjects, such as training over at Lance Storm's over in Calgary, AAA, and Kellyanne also with a rad Teddy Hart story. You got to keep your ears peeled for that. And also heaps of great advice for wrestlers, in particular female wrestlers and those that are looking to really sort of get out there and, you know, sort of show that they're not just quote-unquote women's wrestlers, that they can go as hard as anybody out there in the ring. So, yeah, be sure to listen in to this one, especially if you are a wrestler, a worker yourself. And speaking of working, my gosh, Josh Shooter, he is going to be busy from now through till September. I'm looking at his schedule here. Man, the guy is booked up solid, except for, I think, maybe 1 week in the middle of July. So if you want to book Shooter, quickly get onto that. If you've got a July, I'd say it'd be, what, the 22nd? Or thereabouts. So yeah, get on to him there. But sorry if you got something else on that date, Shooter, but hey, you know, doing the hustle for you, right? So let's look at the upcoming dates for the Axe. We've got June 3rd at Platinum Pro Wrestling versus Aaron O'Malley from WA. He's heading over. June 4th, he'll be at Platinum Pro Wrestling again versus Leon Knights. June 11th, Melbourne City Wrestling. June 24th, Outback Championship Wrestling. And then we've got a couple of weeks free there before he heads to NAW July 16. So, yeah, get on to those shows, folks, if you want to see the Axe in person. And he's also got merchandise, so you can sport some apparel with the Axe on there. You've got the Run DMC design, and you got the Dragon Ball Z takeoff, and then of course my favorite, the Nintendo Entertainment System Pro Wrestling parody with Shooter giving a good old German suplex on the front. Pro Wrestling Entertainment System, that is, sorry. That is the, I guess, the name of that one. So, yeah, check it out. It's redbubble.com/people/the Axe. redbubble.com/people/the Axe. And a shout-out to Thomas Green Design and Illustration, a good buddy of ours here at the show who does help Shooter come up with a lot of the designs as well, and brainstorm with him to get, you know, some of the best-looking merch in Australia out to, you know, to the fans. So shout out to you, Thomas Green Design and Illustration. Be sure to check out the Facebook page, and of course be sure to check out past episodes of Axecast, Healing Out, and WRA. All you got to do is check out Wrestle Radio Australia either on fnx.network or iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Radio. We're on those apps. If you have those installed on your phone or your iPad, just search Wrestle Radio Australia and you will find us there. That's where you'll get Axecast, Healing Out, and WRA. Now, let's get to this awesome chat that Shooter had with Kellyanne a couple of weeks back, and I'll be here at the end of the show to wrap it up.
I've got a few dot points to go through, but what are you up to these days? We're here at Platinum.
Today we're here at Platinum. Do I have to talk into the microphone?
No. See how it picks up anyway? Like, okay. It's got the talking bars.
So today I'm here at Platinum. I am in a tag match. I am tagging with Avery.
How do you think it will go?
It's going to go great.
Winner-winner chicken dinner?
Winner-winner chicken dinner.
Should be fun. I remember with you and Broderick versus Mad Dog and Vixen at Mad Dog's Work.
In
that hardcore match, you were 15.
Death match.
Death match at 15. Lovely.
This is my life. You know what, though? I bought my mother's Christmas present with that pay.
That's very sweet of you, considering Mother's Day is tomorrow as well.
Oh, happy.
What'd you get your mum?
I took her out for dinner. I bought her a perfume, and then I gave her $200 to buy clothes because she needs to treat herself.
That's lovely.
Treat yourself.
Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy
your motherfucking self. Yeah. I'm Kellyanne. Drop the mic.
Yeah.
How you doing?
That's me every day.
Realest girl in the room. There we go.
All right, shut up.
All right. But what's coming up? You got MCW next week?
Yes, I've got MCW next week. And then the week after, I am in Queensland for PPW. Yeah. I'm defending my championship.
I lost my shit when you did the cannonball last week into the guardrail with Demi's head there.
Oh,
that was cool.
That hurt my head too.
You're the one that did it.
Yeah, it was super cool though, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right, but if we were to backtrack it, what, 8 years ago?
Roughly
8 years. Eight years too long, all right? Yeah. So what, you were just like PCW? Was Carlo there or was Tricky there?
No, when I first started training, I was training under Joel Bateman and Jackie Justice.
Jackie Justice. Oh, yep. Wait, what's he done? Like, I've heard the name.
He's a winner.
Oh, he's a super positive guy these days, yeah?
And I were at my first bump was actually with Ken Rock.
I remember Ben Factor told me where PCW closed, like, I think it was the second time or first time, Ken was teaching the classes on how to bump and arm drags, and apparently
flips.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's ripped as well.
Is he?
Yeah. So I started training there, then they closed down, and I went to Alpha.
That's where we met, mate.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where I met Josh Shooter. And I got yelled at by Mike Burr, and I cried on the way home.
Oh, there are so many bad stories, but Burr was so skinny back then.
He was skinny, and he was terrifying. What happened? More scarier when he was skinny. Now he's just a dad.
And he's like, I'm jacked. I'm like, I'm going to throw people around. I've got like that bruiser body. I'm like, you got like a dad bod, your dad.
No, I love him. He's still scary. Yeah. He yelled at me because I hadn't been trained properly. So I didn't know how to do certain things, and, you know, he yelled at me.
Did you do matches at this point or not?
No, I hadn't had my first... No, actually, I had one match. It was a rumble. It was in the city.
Does that count? Because a lot of people...
I don't count it. My first ever match was actually a tag match. Actually, it was at PCW. Yeah, it was a tag match in some random... I forgot even where it was. Was that some school? And I came out to Wednesday 13... Die My Bride.
I think we've all come out to like bad songs. So I remember Fort Minor, remember the name?
I came out to a lot of horrible songs.
Fort Minor, remember the name? I came out to that once.
Came
and
out
like,
to Jay-Z.
What, like, what's
the
Jay-Z
girl
song you
problems,
love?
You feel bad for yourself.
The one you love. Fish for Lay, What She Ordered.
Yeah. I think I've come out to that probably
you
once.
Love that song.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Like, it's my workout song, Josh. You need to listen to it. I'm like, okay, chill, relax.
Dickhead.
But now, like, obviously you worked out, you're one of the most jacked girls there is. And then I see Demi last weekend, and then she's, like, broad as hell in the shoulders.
Yeah,
and I was
she
like,
scared the shit out of me.
Okay. See, that you've been working out also. So you can play this game. So from, like, what, Alpha days, you just started getting around, getting
booked
here?
And I went started training at Hitman's and met a lot of people.
You did GZW Heatwave.
GZW Heatwave, and then I...
In Seaford.
Seaford. And then I... was just training around and wrestling at NAW and all sorts of different places.
I mean, NAW, what can I remember then? NAW, there was you, there was Lozen, Vixen. They had like a few hit and misses, like even Emily was there, Siren was there at the time.
They've had a few people come and go, but it's easily still the most stiffest ring I've ever worked in.
Yep, it's super old school, like to the point of wooden signs out the front when banners are like $20 to get made these days.
But that's what makes it, you know, different from everywhere else.
They say like
it's old school.
New age wrestling, but how
it's quite funny.
How long can you be new for?
Yeah.
It's a bit ironic in that sense. But a lot of people have come from there, and then a lot of people have stayed within their comfort zone there at the same time, and it turns into the wrestler that stays in the same place for 12 months.
I don't understand the whole staying with one company, especially in Australia. In America, I can almost understand because you can make a living.
And there's enough work going out.
Exactly. But here, you know, if you're wrestling for one company, you're working once a month. And if you try to call yourself, oh, I'm a wrestler, blah, 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 you're not. You're wrestling once a month. That's it. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to wrestle every weekend. Doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, I got into wrestling not with the goal of WWE like everyone else. I mean, WWE. Like, I wanted to have my first match. I wanted to be a wrestler because I love the GameCube games and rented it from Blockbuster like yourself. But then I had my first match and I was like, oh, now what? I guess I'll have my second. Oh, Manson kept talking about Big Japan. I'll go do that. Done. Okay. what else is there? Started watching Progress with Joel Bateman. I was like, okay, I'll go to England. Like, I've never been really, like, long-term goal set. I just want to have fun and wrestle. And for those people that enjoy wrestling, like, why don't you do it as much as you can?
Yeah, that's... I mean, when I was training with Lance, he always said his biggest advice was to wrestle as much as possible. Always. Like, just take any opportunity because you never know what will come from it. And that's what I do. I wrestle everywhere. I don't care. I'll just turn up and I'll wrestle.
But you can agree with me, because we always vent to each other about this. Like, the more passionate you are about wrestling and the better you get, the more depressed and anxiety-driven you get at the same time, overthinking little things. How can I make this story more understandable and simple so kids can get it, not just the regular fans?
It's because if you care so much about something and, you know, what the most frustrating thing with me is when I'm working with someone that isn't as passionate and, you know, doesn't care as much, and you know, you got to understand that there's two people in the match. You got to try and make the best. You both have to be on your best and trying to make your match the best, you know. And so it's kind of hard sometimes, but most of the girls I do work are trying their best, and as long as they're trying their best, and that's all you can do.
That's all you can really ask for, but I was going to touch on the subject of keys to success, and obviously you dabbled within it when you mentioned Lance giving you the advice of working as often as you can, but besides that, you're staying fit and you count your calories, your macronutrients, you make sure you watch wrestling, you have wrestling wallpapers at work even. I mean, it's ridiculous, and then you constantly tweet Kenny Omega.
He's so, my friend.
best mates, just don't ask him, he's going to lie about it.
He probably doesn't
know who I am. Yeah, Kelly who? But what are some of your other advices on standing out and success?
I think, with the keys to success, I think you, for women especially, you have to break out of that whole thought of being a female wrestler. That's why people like Madison Eagles are so successful, is because they're considered wrestlers, not female wrestlers, you know. It's very easy to go in there and do a female wrestling match, you know, Bronco Buster, double hair bill for a double down. But, you know, if you start thinking outside the box and go, you know, why can't I do that? Why can't I do cannonballs? Why can't I do power bombs, you know? And I think you have to become obsessed with what you want, you know. Like, lately the last year and a half, I had to, you know, I was pretty down about wrestling. There was tryouts here, I didn't get a tryout, and I sat there and I'm like, oh, I hate myself, I hate my life. But I told myself, I'm never going to feel this way again, ever. And since then, since that day, I haven't felt that way, and I've re-fallen in love with wrestling. So yeah.
Okay, but
just love it.
So that's what brought you down, not being in the alpha group per se of like considered the best wrestler. But I mean, then at sometimes within performing arts, like even with a band, it can just be the right producer that hears the right band that gives them a contract. It comes down to right place, right time, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of people have tryouts, and it's almost, people say it is easy to get a tryout, and I don't want to do a tryout until I know I'm 100% ready. I don't want to go in there not ready.
We've seen people before, and without mentioning names, that have had boob jobs that look great, that do fitness modelling.
Yeah.
They go in there, and although they're teachable and coachable, you'd say, so the Fed can mould them to what they expect, at the same time they've got no real passion and no real drive. Yeah. And so what's the point of just collecting a paycheck when that's someone's dream and desire?
I think the women that are at the top in wrestling now, like Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, are women wrestlers. You know, that before they were in WWE, they loved wrestling and they were wrestling. And the reason why they're so successful is because it's their passion. And you'll see that the people that aren't as passionate, they kind of just float about, I feel, and they're just there. But the people that really make, you know, an impact are the ones that have trained for it. So, yeah.
They're the ones that make wrestling good. And to make wrestling good, you need to understand how to cater for all genres, not just the diehard fans, but for the simple audiences at festivals as well. I mean, I remember you coming back from Lance Storms with Roderick at the time and telling me how it was very fundamental based.
Yes.
Now, the benefits of going over your fundamentals is that you can understand it, understand positioning, understand how to give the best looking arm drag and get the most out of it. I mean, how was Lance's?
If I didn't do Lance's, I wouldn't be as confident as I am now. Like, The best part about, you know, having the basics down pat is because you need those down pat before you can start expanding your repertoire and start, you know, learning different things. You need to know the basics, and Lance was really, he really put, like, stressed hard about that. And we were lucky because we were quite an advanced class already, so the last 3 weeks were just matches every day on the fly. And since then, like, I've found that there's never a point in the ring where I feel lost. Like, I always know where I'm going or what I have to do, or if I do get lost or the other person gets lost, I know what I can do to bring us back to where we need to be. So, yeah, Lance's his knowledge is, you know, he's still living off wrestling, and he's not even wrestling, so...
You've heard the testimonials before with everybody that's made it from the WWE, even... KC at the time, who you were over there training in the same class.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's good to have that name on your resume. You know, if you say you're trained by Lance Storm, they know that you know your basics. I mean, there was people that had gone in there that hadn't even touched a ring before. They went out there doing 5-star matches. So it's well worth the money. And a lot of people say, well, he's just there for money. Of course he's there for the money, but he's making money off something he loves, and he's passing on his knowledge, and it will forever live on.
If he was there solely for the money, I believe it would have been one or two seasons of wrestlers going in, and people would have buried it and talked so badly about it, no one else would want to continue over there with Lance Storm. But that wasn't your only Canada trip, was it?
No.
I mean, you did another trip that worked some local independent shows as well as a couple big shows from memory?
Yes. So, whilst I was over there the first time, me and Ryan Rollins, Broderick, we wrestled on Stampede Wrestling, where we met the lovely Teddy Hart. Teddy was cool, and he kidnapped us for a night.
Hold on. One of my coolest, like, stories I've ever heard you mention was when you got to give, like, the heart attack.
Yes. So at the Heart Revival Show,
Heart Foundation.
It was something.
No, that's a charity.
I forgot what they called the show. Anyways, I got to wrestle Jim Neidhart, right? And I was like, holy shit, this is it. I've made it.
How was it backstage?
It was cool. He didn't want to work anything out. I'm like, that's fine, but like.
See you out there, mate.
Yeah, but he's like. We had Johnny Devine in the match as well, and he's like, oh, you know, and then you'll hit them with your finish. And Jim goes, what's that? And he goes, oh, the Heart Foundation thingy. And I've gone, yeah, you know, the heart attack, you're going to hit that on me. Anyway, we went out there and he picks me up and his knees give out and he drops me before the other person can come with a lariat. And it's the crowd's like, oh. And then he pinned me off it. I'm like, I'm not going to kick out. Like, oh, no.
I wouldn't.
And then, after that, Teddy was like, you know, you guys got to come back, blah, blah, blah. Didn't think anything would come from it. We get home and I think the second or third day we were home, we got a Skype call from Teddy Hart and he said, I want you guys here. So.
Sure, Mr. Teddy.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know, I've heard some weird things about this guy.
I've seen the YouTube videos.
Yeah, he has a lot of cats. Anyway, so we decide, you know what, let's fucking do it. And during that time, we actually teed up a tryout with AAA. In Mexico.
Because Mr. Conan. Right?
Yeah, so we met Conan at the Heart Resolution show.
He's like Mexican Hulk Hogan, but without the lawsuits.
He was super nice. I was so intimidated at first. But anyways, so we went back there. We lived with Teddy for a month. The most insane shit happened in that month.
Wait. What's his name? Dark-skinned guy from America. He had his passport taken from him. Flip Kendrick,
my boy. I don't know what JXT's doing. Us? Anyways, so
Flip. So we're talking about Flip.
Flip Kendrick. Yeah, we lived with him. Teddy likes to collect people, and he collected all three of us. He wouldn't let us leave.
They were like Pokemon.
Yeah, we were like Pokemon. We literally lived with Teddy Hart for a month. We looked after his cats. We counted his money.
Just curious for those playing along at home that don't know. How many cats does he have?
He had 21.
21?
Okay. Yeah, 21
did they,
cats.
Did they ever get showered or bathed?
Yes. So I've never said this in public, but yeah, Teddy one time wanted me to help shave his cats.
As you do?
and I'm like, I didn't know you shaved cats, but here I am shaving a cat. Anyway, so he goes, you got to come into my room and you got to shave my cat. And I'm like, okay, I'll follow you then. Anyway, so Teddy gets in the shower and he's naked, and I'm like, oh, where do I look? What do I do? Oh, so I'm standing there, and he's got like 7 cats in the shower with him, and I'm standing there shaving a cat, and at that point in time, I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
It's either you've done something very good or very bad exactly. to end up in that one point in life.
It was, and then we come outside, and Broderick's sitting there, and he's like, were you just in the shower with Teddy? I'm like, no. And
not like that, but yes.
Teddy comes out, and he's like, hey, Broderick, you got a good girl there. She didn't look at me cock. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then, yeah. So things like that happen. But, yeah, so we slept on a hard wooden floor in minus 21 degree weather for a month.
And trained in an ice ring.
Yeah, we trained in the ring that had, it was covered by ice, but, you know, Teddy's like, no pain, no gain. I'm like, yeah, cool.
Cool, it worked out for Rocky Balboa, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then we went to Mexico, and it was insane. We lived with psychosis, Halloween.
Oh, you were telling me about someone's bad knees. That was terrible.
Yeah, psychosis, poor knees. He has like Matt Hardy knees, so they come out like this.
Jimmy Havoc
knee. Jimmy, yeah. Yeah. But they were super cool. They looked after, super crazy. They looked after us.
That's such a bad joke.
I know, sorry.
Shut the fuck up.
They looked after us. We trained, and we actually had the tryouts. And
so the tryout, because you haven't had a WWE tryout,
yes.
You can't really compare it, but you've heard no. how the WWE tryouts are just, majority of it cardio. Is like a bunch of rolls,
yeah.
stair sprints, cardio, cut a minute promo,
yeah,
bullshit like
this
that.
This was completely different. We got into a stadium. There was like 200 people there, some of them from Dragon Gate, Japan. Anyways, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Conan comes up to me and goes, you're going to be wrestling in a 6-man tag. None of them speak English, so just give it your best shot. And I'm like, alrighty. Anyways, the match before mine was Broderick's tryout. And he goes up and he does a 6:30 because he wants to, you know...
Impress.
He knocks himself out, starts convulsing and spitting shit from his mouth. And I'm like, he's dead. This is it.
We're going to have to send him back in a body bag.
Yep. And then...
By Broderick.
I'm like, oh my God, he's dying. And everyone's like, no, he's okay. And I'm like, no, he's dead. Anyway, so he wakes up. And then Conan comes up to me and he goes, well, your turn. Get up in there. And I'm like, fuck. So I had to work out this 6-man tag.
Wait, did they check on him?
Yeah, like they pulled him out the ring. And I'm like, oh God. So anyways, I did my match with somehow... I was actually with Steve Payne, who he's
Steve
really
Payne.
Cool.
Where's he from? I've heard the name.
He's Mexican, but...
Mexican
but
or Mexican?
He speaks Spanish. You're a dick. He speaks Spanish. But anyways, we did the match. Anyway, so they're sitting there and they're like, all right, guys, we're going to read out who got a contract. Anyways, they're like, Australiano Kelly. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, this is Broderick's dream. And here I am standing up, I'm taking it, and Broderick's looking at me, he's like, just shaking his head. I'm like, oh.
Be happy for me, Broderick, because he'd expect the yeah. same.
But then Australiano got called, so they actually offered me the development deal, but with the development deal comes no visa. So Broderick got the contract, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then Broderick left, and I stayed here with no visa, and I cried.
But yeah, it helped you stand out from the crowd, so you can also adapt it to those that don't know how to take a Mexican arm drag.
Oh, yeah.
But yet you're able to apply Mexican arm drags. In the same way, I can do English uppercuts and English mat wrestling.
Exactly. I think it's the best part of wrestling and traveling is the training. You know, I love it. I loved learning a different style. And, you know, I may not use everything I learned because some of it's really strange, but it's good to know and good to pull out when I need to.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yep.
I mean, the best part I've found is even if you've seen terrible wrestlers go overseas and they come back a little bit less terrible, it's their self-confidence because it's personal growth. I mean,
absolutely.
When you have to learn to sleep on a wooden floor, when you have to learn how to shave a cat overseas or travel on a bus for 12 hours by yourself, I mean, that's the best personal growth you can get.
Yeah.
And money can't pay for that anyway. It's the life experience and you get to tell these stories. Like, you've read Jericho's book and somewhat inspiring.
I lived through that book when I was traveling. I'm like, oh, help me. God, help me.
It's like a Bible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't regret it at all. I love traveling. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah. And now you do Queensland regularly and Adelaide regular.
Yeah. Like, I love wrestling in the state. RCW is probably one of my favorite promotions to work.
Have you done Perth yet?
Yes. I wrestled at NHPW a few times.
Okay. But EPW having a women's division coming up.
Yeah.
So.
I want to come over there. Muffins keeps saying he's going to bring me over.
Muffins.
But you don't do it, do you? But he will. I know him.
Hopefully.
Nice guy muffins.
But okay, so PCW, you started there, right? They closed and everything else, and as they were closing, that's when Alpha really kicked off.
Yeah.
They started doing their shows, which they started pretty good, but towards the end, as like an Alpha guy myself, I'd just say that it turned to shit. It was a roster full of rookies. They had no real pros to lead the crew and no real backstage generals.
Yeah.
It was more so a couple of guys that were experienced that wanted to be big fish, little pond mentality.
Yeah, I never got to work there, unfortunately.
You're not missing out on much, but PCW came back, and it also was like the rebirth of PCW.
Yeah.
And so you got to work the rebirth of PCW, and now they're moving.
Yeah, a little bit. It was fun, but I mainly stayed. I started training with Carlo regularly after that.
DP.
This was actually, he trained out of PCW's factory. It was like secret Sunday sessions. He trained the girls, and I'm the only girl that's still from that group. But yeah, and then I started training at VP regularly, which is, I would say, probably the best training in Melbourne. It's very fun and structured.
And it's central as well.
Yes, exactly. It's in the heart of the city, so.
Yeah. I mean, are you still going down, or is just work commitments tying you down?
Yeah, like, I'm always working at stupid times and stuff, and I usually go to Hitman's because I find training with people like yourself, Dowie and everything, I pick up so much more things rather than going through the basic stuff, which I don't mind. But, you know, I'll always go down to VP when I can, and I'll probably end up going back regularly soon because the conditioning side of things is, you know, it's really good.
It does come into play, and it's somewhat beneficial.
Yeah,
I mean,
and Carlo knows his shit. He's an amazing trainer, so, and I think his students, you can see that they're really good.
I mean, training with myself, Dowie, and a few others, it's somewhat of a support network where we can always be honest with each other. I mean, my biggest flaw is I can be impatient at times. Dowie's biggest flaw is he can speak up and he's physique he wants to work on. But then at the same time, he's constantly outworking everyone else and bringing work rate.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll always point out everyone's flaws so then we know what to work on. We'll write down ideas, suggestions for each other. I mean, that's when you started doing your cannonball at training before you debuted it at MCW.
I was so nervous to do it because I'm like, I'm totally going to land on my head.
But see, there's not that many girls that are doing cannonballs in wrestling. I don't think there's another. So it does keep you standing out.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lufisto does it, but and Mia Yim every now and then. So, like, when I do Shimmer and stuff, I don't get to do it, which is fine because you have to respect it. But hopefully, eventually, I'll be able to start using it there once I build my name up a bit more.
But in regards to building your name, you seem to be doing that pretty firmly at MCW.
Yeah.
And you've even landed the position as one of the best female wrestlers there is in the country.
World.
I mean, I say Madison's great and everything else, but you can't define success and you can't define failure. But if you were to measure it, you are traveling a little bit more regular within the country. You're working with a little bit more variation as she's still Sydney-based. So that's Shaz McKenzie, Harley Wonderland, the floozies such as Evie and Jess, I think it is, or Charlie and Jess.
Yes.
Yep, so you have the variation where you're working with everybody coming to MCW, the prime of Melbourne, and Melbourne being the prime of the country at the moment, in my own opinion. So that does keep you the cream, that does make you the cream of the crop, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I look up to Madison more than most people. And I still, like, we've only had one match together, that was in Perth. But I would absolutely kill to wrestle her every bloody weekend if I could, because I just think she's amazing. Okay. Absolutely amazing.
Let's say if someone's tuning in for the first time that doesn't know who Madison is, because Madison's been kept pretty quiet for the last few years or few months even. Why do you look up to Madison so much?
I think because when she gets in there, like, she literally just kicks ass. Like, she looks like she could beat you up, and what she does in the ring is that she just wrestles. Like, it's, I feel like she's an all-rounder. Like, she can do anything, really. She can be a high flyer. She can chain the shit out of you. She can also lift you up and kill you. Like, just everything. And I think, you know, she brought a lot of exposure to Australia just in herself. So, yeah.
And when I've seen you go over to Shimmer, I remember Skyping you the first few times you were there. You were really nervous.
I was terrified.
You have to be nervous because you're stepping outside your comfort zone. And you can't grow unless you do that, in my own opinion, though.
Yeah.
Now, you have your own squad over there, right? Your own support network, you'd say.
Yeah.
Like, who are they?
I started watching Shimmer years and years ago with Beth Phoenix was on it and stuff. And I guess I never, like, I knew I was going to go there at some point, but it, you know, actually doing it, it was scary. But I go over there with Shazza McKenzie, Evie, Madison, and Skater. And having those girls there, like, Madison is one of the main girls there. So coming in with her, it made me feel a lot more comfortable. And she looks after me, and we all look after each other, and we travel together because I fucking hate airports. So
you've missed your flight a few times. I think it was an RCW show. I remember you missed your flight.
And two PWA ones.
PWA Sydney. I've missed PWA Sydney flights, and I thought Doug would be not angry but disappointed. So I booked it last minute and it was like $300 one way.
Yeah, I've done that. I've actually rebooked and accidentally booked it for the next day.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
I had to buy another one.
You bought another two one. Flights, so it was like a total of like $1,000 one way. That was ridiculous. But over here, you have somewhat of a support network as well. I mean, there is promoters and bookers that look out for you to make sure that you are on cards and that they do always have a spot for you. And then there's wrestlers like myself, Dowie, Fox, even Sid and Benny that have known you for a long time.
Yeah.
Benny more so.
Yeah.
Benny Toothless Benny.
Yes, I knocked his tooth out on his 18th birthday.
Happy birthday, Benny. He's
he
a forearm.
He deserved it. No, not really. I was just silly.
Yeah, silly Kelly. Yeah. But you have your own support network down here. Now, why is that so beneficial to have a support network?
I think because I surround myself with positive people like Adam and you and all, you know, the close friends here. If you're all after the same goal, it just makes everything so much easier, you know? And then you can just, you kind of lean on each other at shows, and you always know, like, if they're on the show, it's going to be fun. You know, there's nothing worse than going to a show and you don't like anyone and you hate everyone and like, I don't usually hate anyone, but you know, there is certain people in wrestling you can't
don't click with.
Yeah, you don't click with, or you know, people say you can't trust many people in the business, but I've met all my friends are to do with wrestling because I'm a loser if I'm not a wrestler. Like, if I wasn't a wrestler, I would be the biggest loser.
And no, fat.
And fat. I would be so fat. I would probably still be. I used to be at the top of the RuneScape leaderboard one day, like years ago. Yeah.
Fun fact. Kellyanne loves RuneScape.
Yeah, if you look up Mob Dog, I'm actually.
Mob Dog?
Don't ask.
Why Mob Dog? I want
to
know.
It was something to do with Eminem and like Machiavelli shit. It was dumb.
Interesting. The more you know.
Yeah, so I love video games. That's my other outlet, is video games. And I'm not just like, oh, I'm a girl gamer. How hot am I?
Look,
no. Like, I literally love games.
Like, I've texted you once, and then you text back 4 hours. Yeah. Sorry, I was playing PS2. What's up?
And I love Skyrim more than anything. I'm still playing it.
I mean, we got on this topic of most of your friends are in wrestling, because I heard you say at MCW, because you were so passionate about wrestling, you were watching it from Blockbuster, you were playing the games.
Yeah.
You didn't really have a social life because you put all your time and effort and emphasize on training more so. So you stood out in the long run instead of some people that juggle the social life and juggle school life and juggle everything else.
Yeah,
I mean, you put it all on wrestling.
Yeah, everything was wrestling. I used to wag school to go to training. Like, I'd travel 3 hours to get to training. And
did your mum find out?
No, because I'd make sure I'd come home before school finished. I'm like, oh, hi, Mum, I've been here this whole time. But, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. Most of the kids these days are on drugs and stuff. And, I mean, I'm not saying that I'd be into that if I wasn't wrestling, but...
But you are from a pretty...
I'm from a rough area. I grew up on the block.
From the hood.
Nah, my mum's a single parent, so I've always been...
She's lovely.
Yes, she's my little supporter. So I've always, you know, I don't really touch drugs at all. Don't like them, don't feel the need to. Don't enjoy drinking. All I enjoy doing is just wrestling and playing video games and eating.
You need to express yourself in some way. I mean, you sacrifice friends in that aspect in a social life when you were younger. I mean, what are some other sacrifices? Because everyone talks about, like, you know, creed, my sacrifice. But what does the sacrifice actually mean?
I guess, obviously the friends side of things, like, and family events I always miss and I don't think twice about. I'm like, oh, sorry, guys, got a show. Can't come to my uncle's, not funeral, but, like, you know, wedding or whatever. Yeah, like, all that sort of stuff. I can't eat what I want when I want.
Thank God, because you'd look like shit otherwise.
I know.
Even worse.
You have no idea. I'm such a fatty at heart. It's fucked.
I remember there was the MCW award night, and we're all smashing burgers and everything else. And to be fair, most of us that smash burgers look pretty terrible now. But there you are, in the corner, with a plastic Tupperware container, eating your chicken and rice, and then I decided to hide it on you, and you were about to cry.
I was almost going to cry, I remember that. It's the first time I've been, like, shoot angry at you. All I wanted to eat was my fucking food.
I think you and me have both had a couple of emotional phases at each other.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when you had a rough patch with a boyfriend,
yeah,
and then I thought it was so sad that you two were arguing.
I started crying. It was
instead
a mess.
I was like, you guys can't do this. You guys are perfect.
In fact, you were dating one of my best friend at the time.
The Hurricane.
And yeah, so you guys broke up the same night.
We broke up the same night.
And you
night.
Cried because we broke and up. Then and then I was consoling you, and I'm like, hang on a second.
You're dealing with your own breakup. I was like, no, don't worry about the Hurricane. Like, it wasn't ever going to work anyway.
Well,
like,
did.
She's a Hurricane for a reason. And then I'm like, you two need to work things out. I'm crying on your behalf. It was New Year's Eve, and the worst New Year's Eve ever. It was like a house party. We didn't know anybody.
We didn't know anyone.
We got invited there. We're like, yeah, sure, yeah, why not? And we just felt so socially awkward.
It was bad.
That's terrible. But
woo, woo, woo.
What's now? Well, like,
now?
What's going? What's the next step?
What's
I mean,
my goals, my dreams?
My goals, my dreams, my desires. You don't know the sacrifices I've made.
June 15th, I go back to America. I'm going to wrestle back at Shimmer and Shine. And then, you know, I would like
to... How long's that tour for?
It's about a month. And then I come back, and I think I'm back over in October. And then I want to maybe look at going to Japan. But my main goal in the next year is for a tryout and to reach WWE. That's my dream.
To do this full-time, ideally.
Yeah, right? Ideally. But WWE is the main one.
How do you define the difference between a tour and a working holiday that invests within yourself?
I think with a tour, I guess... I'm wrestling every day there, pretty much. It's not really any Kelly time. So I'll be doing customs every day and traveling to different states to wrestle and stuff. And
well, training, and that's essentially investing your time
exactly
within your own product and brand.
I wish I could just have some Kelly time and just sit there and stare at a wall, but...
You need, like, a Nintendo DS where you can just bring it with you so you can aid your gaming addiction?
I have a DS and I bring that.
What are your go-to games on the DS? Just on that topic.
Have you played Kirby?
Yeah, I'm a Pokemon type of guy, though.
I've never liked Pokemon, hey, like, at all. Kirby, I've got this other... It's not Bomberman, but it's something like... It's just some really shitty one.
Bomberman's good.
I love Bomberman. Yeah, I think they're the only two games I carry, but Kirby's my number one. Always. Kirby.
But yeah, then you go back to the wrestling, and you're constantly gymming it every day now. What's your philosophy on gym?
On gym?
Because before you undertook Lean Machines training and
yeah,
everything else, you were like, oh, I'm going to try this. I'm going to not eat a carb. And then you just crash.
Yeah, I know what I was doing.
And then you just binge on a cake.
Exactly. I think now I have a good understanding of nutrition and everything. And gym, like, I actually enjoy it now. I know what I'm doing, which is mainly lifting heavy. And I do cardio when I have to. But I enjoy lifting heavy, and I have never aspired to be skinny, but I would like to look muscly and jacked, and I think I'm getting there.
What's the ideal look for a wrestler? Male or female? How should they look?
I think they should look like they're a wrestler.
Should they look like a
fighter? It depends. I mean, it depends on your character, I guess. Like, I think for my character, I should look jacked. So I look jacked. But, you know, if you want to be a prissy little thing, you should look like a prissy little thing.
I set that up, that question, because you said the word character, which I wanted you to say. Because I want you to explain, what is the Kellyanne character?
It's just an extension of myself.
It's just an extension of myself. It's me times a thousand.
No, look, Kellyanne, I'm different Kellyannes everywhere. MCW Kellyanne is what I would like to be in real life. That is it. If I could be anyone in the world, it would be her, just being an absolute wanker.
Is that
dick.
You times a thousand?
It's me times a thousand, turned up a notch. No, but really, it's like, if I could be anyone, I'm like, well, I think this person's cool, so everyone else is going to find it cool. And when I tag with Adam Asbestos, it's literally two friends having fun that happen to be dating. Like, it's just fun. And I think these days, people like wrestlers who are more real, like they can relate to. Exactly. We're who the reality era, yeah, I guess, and that's a shame, but whatever. I wish I could wear a mask and a cape.
I define Kellyanne the wrestler as somewhat of a punk rocker, somewhat as someone that's a brew that by your cannonball.
Yeah, legit. Exactly. I like to use my body as a weapon, I guess. But
too legit to quit.
I am too legit to quit, always, forever. But yeah, I mean, I always bring in, I love horror punk music, and I like to bring that into my look with the Misfits logo that I completely ripped off, and I don't care if I get, what's it called, when they sue you. I don't care if they sue me. I'd feel privileged. That's awesome.
Cease and desist, Lisa, hey, letter.
I mean, they're making shower curtains with the Misfits flag, like, skull on, so why can't I?
It's pretty recognisable anyway. Yeah. Like, the Misfits must just laugh it off. Like, they're pretty cool guys, right?
Exactly.
Are your best mates?
I wouldn't know them personally, but I can pretend.
Okay. American Psycho 2. I want to touch on that because that was super fun from what I remember.
Fuck. Like, yeah, that was ages ago.
You did the road trip with, like, I think it was you, Hurricane, AJ Edwards, and Broderick at the time.
Yeah.
Where was it? It was like,
I don't even remember at all.
How many people were in the crowd?
Six.
Is that the smallest crowd you ever wrestled in front of?
No. Stampede Wrestling, I wrestled in front of 3 people.
Okay, details.
We wrestled in front of 3 people. There was no entrance music. We ran the ropes and the ropes broke. And then D.H. Smith powerbombed Broderick and he got knocked out.
Okay.
And I just stood there going, no.
Okay, cool story. Okay, you've seen the... So you are currently working in Platinum.
Yes.
OCW.
Right.
MCW.
Yes.
PCW maybe in the near future.
Every now and then I will. PPW, RCW, and whoever wants to book me. You can book me via Kellyanne Facebook, or you can email me at kelly-salter93@hotmail.com. Yeah.
Well, isn't it .uk?
.uk.
Yeah, there you go. I know your email address more than yourself.
Yeah, shut your eyes.
That's terrible because I'm like, is this your real email? Yeah. I got it made with the UK because I thought it'd be a cool gimmick because you were Kellyanne English.
What a loser.
Remember before you were like the punk rocker and you had the English flag?
Yes, I was on a team with Benny English and he decided to call me Kellyanne English. It was great.
But to be fair, I pretended I was a chicken in a mask for my first few years.
You were. Oh, don't tell anyone that.
No, don't tell anyone. No one will ever hear about that. All right, so I'm going to keep this quite short anyway because we're backstage at a show. But if you could hold this...
We need to go work my match out.
We need to go work some stuff out. Right, so I've got some names to run by you. And it's tag teams now. Whether you fancy one more than another, whether you think one's a better wrestler.
Who I like better out of the tag teams.
Yeah, who you like. Okay. Matt and Nick Jackson.
Oh, they're the exact same.
They're the Young Bucks. You got to choose.
Nick.
Cass and Enzo.
Enzo.
Ooh, okay. Now, Bubba and Devon.
I hate Bubba. He looks like such a dick. And I know he's a bully, so it makes... No, Devon. I have to go Devon.
Okay, because I thought Bubba's a heel. Now, isn't that what heels do?
No. I don't like him. Because I read in a book that he was really mean to Lita once, and it just really upset me.
Lita, you say?
Yes. That old thing. Yeah, my idol.
Only my idol, long term. Okay. Matt or Jeff Hardy?
Jeff Hardy.
HBK or Triple H?
Triple H. Triple H, yeah, I love him.
Oh, okay, here's a toughie. Dowie or Brooksy?
Brooksy. Come Dowie. Who's Dowie? Brooksy.
Okay, now we're going to try and one up that. JXT or Fox?
Don't do that. Oh.
Okay. Benny Factor or Sid Parker?
Sid is actually one of my favourite Australian wrestlers to watch ever. Like, I want to be him.
But then you've known Benny since you were...
Yeah, and I love Benny.
That's tough.
So I like them both, but I'm a big fan for Sid.
Okay. Christian or Edge?
Oh, fuck. I thought I was going to say Edge, but... Look, Edge. I'm going to have to go Edge. Okay. I'm an Edge head.
Animal or Hawk?
Hawk. I think so.
This is somewhat challenging. I'm enjoying it. Now, Marty Jannetty or HBK?
HBK.
Okay, that was a no-brainer. Billy Gunn or Road Dogg?
Fuck off. I had a crush on Road Dogg when I was younger for some reason, yeah. But I love Ass Man. I know. I'm an Ass Man. I'm going to have to go Road Dogg.
Okay.
Oh, man, I haven't even seen the guy wrestling, and it's like an hour till the show starts. Or no, it's like half an hour. Yeah. This is the worst.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Okay.
Speaking of the good old KS over here.
Yeah.
Wait, you're like a Twitter superstar now that you did Shimmer with all your...
Oh, yeah, I've got like 1,000 followers.
I'm kind of a big deal with 1,000 followers.
Yeah, you can find... /KellyanneFiendC, because I couldn't fit club for Twitter. And then on Instagram, I am KellyanneFiendClub. And for my Facebook page, it won't let me change my link, which is Nikita Noridian. Alrighty, wrap it up. Let's go.
Alright, taking it home.
Thank you very much, guys. What a great chat that was. Very honoured to be able to listen into that one. And again, if you dug what you heard, subscribe on your favourite podcast app, or you can just go straight to fnx.network about every week. I mean, didn't have an episode out for the past couple, but yeah, we're back now, and that's all that matters. And also, we would love it if you could leave us a rating and a review, especially if you have found us on a place like iTunes, because they really do help get our shows to more people and get higher up in the rankings. When people look for a new wrestling podcast, we want them to find Wrestle Radio Australia, especially if they are in Australasia indeed. Don't know what we've got planned coming up, but we'll be having plenty more audio now that I have a new mixer. So, yeah, going to be making the most of that and hopefully getting some more overseas guests on the show. It's been a long time since we've had somebody from overseas calling in, and also more guests from interstate. Being in Adelaide, as I am, it's hard to catch up with folks unless they do come over for RCW events or Wrestle Rampage. The folk down there are very kind to allow us backstage to record afterwards. So, yeah, we're going to be having a lot more fun here at WRA, and I'll hopefully get this bloody awards show happening soon. Hopefully by now, or by the time it happens, everybody that was actually nominated and voted for completely forgot how many votes they got, and it'll be a nice surprise when I give them a call for the awards show. No promises again when it's going to happen, but it will be soon. And also, a big thank you to WrestleMerch Printing, who sponsor us and help us get the shows to you guys every single month. So if you're a promoter or a wrestler down here in Australia, you need great merch for your fans. The hoodies are awesome. They're so warm and look great, look modern. So coming into winter, or in winter now, get onto WrestleMerch Printing. They did our artwork here at Wrestle Radio Australia. They'll take care of you. Trust in folks like TMDK, folks like Josh Shooter has used WrestleMerch in the past, I believe, as well as JXT, Mr. Juicy, Lockie Hendricks, and just some of the great talent. Kellyanne, a lot of the great talent out there doing good things. They want to get really cool merch to their fans and look after those that are supporting them. WrestleMerch Printing is the way to go. Check out their Facebook page, send a private message, and they will get back to you. Peace out. I'm Josh Armour, and we'll catch you next time on WRA. Peace.